But what I'm going to try to do is to review some of the basic halachas of Chanukah, some of the background, some of the halachas. I don't know how much we'll be able to cover. There's a lot to do. It's hard to do 8 days in 1 hour, but you can try. The Gemara Masechet Shabbos, is this connected? Can we get started?
Yeah.
Okay. The Gemara Masechet Shabbos tells us that mitzvahs ner Chanukah ner Yishu Beito. Mitzvahs Chanukah ner Yishu Beito. Which means that the basic rule of Chanukah is that one is yotzei the mitzvah if per household one candle is lit every night. Which means the first night you light one candle, the second night you light one candle, the third night you light one candle. And one fulfills the basic mitzvah of Chanukah just by lighting one candle for the family each night of Chanukah. However, the Gemara tells us that there are two other stages of the mitzvah. One can perform the mitzvah in a mahadrin stage, in a more a fashion that's more mehudar. And the way to do that is to light a candle per person. In other words, if there's a mother, a father, and five children, so you have now seven people in the family. Each night of Chanukah you were to light seven candles. Seven the first night, seven the second night, seven the third night. And that is considered a heder over the standard mitzvah of lighting one candle per night. Then the Gemara goes on to say that there's an added level, that one can do mahadrin, mina mahadrin. One can do extra heder in the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. And then we come to the famous machloket of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. How does one perform that mitzvah of mahadrin mina mahadrin? Beit Shammai says that one lights eight candles the first night, and you work your way down. Eight, seven, six, five, four, three, two, one. And what you're doing is you're basically counting how many days are left to Chanukah. So the first night, there are 8 days, right? And the second night, there are 7 days left. And by the last night of Chanukah, there's 1 day left. That is Beit Shammai's opinion. Beit Hillel's opinion, however, is that we go from 1 to 8. We start 1, 2, 3. Not counting how many days are left to Chanukah, but rather how many days of Chanukah have arrived. So the first night, one night has arrived. By the second night, 2 nights have arrived. And we work our way up till 8 nights of Chanukah. So one looks at how many days are left, and one looks how many days are have we actually celebrated. There's another reason given in the Gemara, and that is that Beit Shammai points out that when it comes to the Karbanot of Pesach, if you take a look, come here please. There's plenty of room over here, just need to get chairs. I can take chairs from the Beit Midrash or from anywhere else. The other reason given for Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is Beit Shammai points out that when it comes to Sukkot, and we bring Karbanot on Sukkot, so if you take a look, every day we bring one Karban less. We go from 13 to 12 to 11 to 10 to 9 to 8 till 7. I think I got the numbers right. So you go downwards. Whereas Beit Hillel says, no, Ma'alin Ba'Kodesh Ve'in Moridim. When it comes to Kedusha, we always go upward. And therefore we should start with 1 and end at 8. In any event, of course, we paskin in this machloket like Beit Hillel, and we light 1 the first night, 1, 2 the second night, 3 the third night, etc. All this is very basic. However, we come now to a very interesting question that the Rishonim dealt with. Stage 1 was one candle per family. Stage 2 was you take into account how many family members there were. So if there were 7 family members, so it's 7 and then 14 and 21, etc. What happens if I decide to do stage 3, when I go from 1 to 8? Does stage 3 build on stage 2 or substitute for stage 2? Which means as follows. If I say stage 3 builds on stage 2, then what I am saying is that stage 2 is, I have a family of 7, I lit 7 candles the first night. And stage 3 builds on it. So the second night I'm going to light 14 candles. And the third night I'm going to light 21 candles. In other words, I take into account both how many family members there are, and I take into account which night it is. So I'm going to start with the family members of the family of 7, and then work my way up 7, 14, 21, 28, etc. until the last night are like 56 candles. In other words, 7 family members, 8 knives, 56. That is the opinion of the Rambam. The Rambam's opinion is that stage 3 builds on stage 2, and therefore I start with the number of family members, and then I double it, and then triple it, etc., each night. The Tosfot disagrees. Tosfot says, you can't light, 21 candles the third night of Hanukkah in your house, because it won't tell me anything. Remember, Beit Hillel was saying you can tell how many days are coming in. I don't know if you're lighting 21 candles, whether you have 3 family members and it's the 7th night, you have 7 family members and it's the 3rd night, whether you have a large family of 21 and it's the 1st night of Hanukkah. I have no idea. And therefore Tosfot says, if you're going to do the 3rd stage of adding, then you skip the 2nd stage. Then the 1st night is 1 candle, the 2nd night is 2 candles, the 3rd night is 3 candles, and I don't care how many family members you have. So Machloket Tosfot and the Rambam. What comes out to be a very strange psak in halacha is that the Ashkenazim, who normally follow Tosfot, because the Balei Tosfot are Ashkenazim, in this case, more or less follow the Rambam, and the Sfardim, who normally follow the Rambam, in this case, follow the Balei Tosfot. What this means in practice is as follows. In Sfardic households, and this is how the Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch paskens, that we want to do stage number 3 of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, we ignore how many family members there are. And the total amount of candles lit in the house is 1 the first night, 2 the second night, 3 the third night. That's the total amount of candles lit. That's it. You don't have different people lighting candles. You don't have multiple Chanukiyot in the window. If you're going to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, it's 1 Chanukiyah per family for the entire Hanukkah, going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And that's the custom in most Sephardic households, one person lights. In the Ashkenazic households, we basically follow the Rambam. And that is, we'll have multiple candles. We'll have 7, 14, 21, 28, etc. Except, as opposed to the way the Rambam describes it, which would seem that, like the last night of Hanukkah, you have 56 candles lit in a row, right? The Rambam actually talks about 10 family members. He had 80 candles the last night. He says, what the Ashkenazim do is try to separate the candles of the family members. So if you have a family of 7, the first night you light 7 candles. But instead of lighting 7 candles, one right next to another, one person lights here, one person lights there, one person lights there, one by one window, one by the other window, one to the left side of the window, one to the right side of the window, one a taller Chanukiah, one a shorter Chanukiah, so that the second night when you have 14 candles, it's not 14 mishmash, it's 7 double candles. And the third night you have 21 candles, you have 7 triple candles, each person in a slightly different place, so one can distinguish between them. And therefore the custom is in Ashkenazic households, that you will come along and you will have different people, multiple people lighting in the same house. In Sephardic households in general, there is 1 Chanukiah per house. In Ashkenazic households in general, there will be multiple Chanukiahs in the house. Okay. Now, a woman chayav in the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. At first glance, what type of mitzvah is Ner Chanukah? It's Mitzvah Taseh Shazman Grama. And therefore, we would assume that women would be Turel. However, the Gemara tells us explicitly in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi that in 3 different places, the Gemara mentions that women are chayav in special mitzvah Taseh Shazman Grama for the reason of Af Hein Hayubato Anes. It's mentioned regarding Ner Chanukah, regarding Megillah, and Dalet Kosot on Pesach. Since women were Ba'oto Anes of Chanukah, therefore, they too are obligated in the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, and their mitzvah is equal to the mitzvah of men. As we'll soon see, that has ramifications. What their involvement was in the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, Tosfot has 2 opinions. One opinion is that the mitzvah actually, they helped bring about the nes of Chanukah. The story about Yehudit, who cut off the head of the Greek, Syrian Greek general, and and created panic, and therefore the Maccabim were able to defeat them in the battlefield. So Yehudit was the one who actually helped bring about the miracle, or not that the main miracle was done to them, just that they benefited from the miracle. The all the gezeirot of Antiochus against abiding by halacha and Torah and mitzvot applied to them as well, and since they benefited from the miracle, they too have to celebrate the miracle. So women are chayavot. In a svardik household, would a woman light a separate chanukiah? And the answer is, there's only one chanukiah in the entire household. Doesn't matter, men, women, you know, adults, children, there's only one chanukiah. So therefore, there's only one person lighting. In an Ashkenazic household, the custom is that every single person lights. So one would assume that women would light. However, the Mishnah Berurah writes that the minhag was that married women do not light a separate chanukiah. That's what Mishnah Berurah writes. Why? The reason of ishto kigufo. That the husband and wife share, so to speak, one chanukiah. The other members of the family in the Ashkenazic household will light separately. But Mishnah Berurah writes that the custom was that women, married women, don't light separately from the husband. They light the same chanukiah, where they're together with their husband's lighting. However, even though that's what the Mishnah Berurah writes, supposedly it's well known, and I saw in the Sefer at least, that Rav Soloveitchik's wife used to light separately. He based it on the Rambam. From the simplest reading of the Rambam seems to be that the Rambam talked about a family of 10, including the wife. And the Rambam talked about 10 candles the first night, 20 candles the second night. He didn't say we have a family of 10 and 9 candles the first night, because the husband and wife like share the candles. You had the women, you know, each woman was separate. And therefore, Rav Soloveitchik's wife, based on this Rambam, used to light her own chanukiah. And I also saw quoted in the name of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Now, it's not found in the Ziglat Moshe, but quoted in his name. I think his grandson writes that Rav Moshe Feinstein says that in Europe, in pre-World War II Europe, it was not that uncommon for married women to light their own chanukiyot. So although the Mishnah Berurah says that the minhag is that the married women do not light separately, there are achronim who say no, that there were other customs as well, and married women would light separately. What about single daughters? So again, in a Sephardic household when only one person is lighting, okay, one person is lighting, but in an Ashkenazi household when everybody is lighting, so presumably if the women are chayav in the mitzvah, which they are, so one would expect, and there's no inyan of bito kigufo, right, because it's ishto kigufo, but your daughter is on it. So one would expect that in Ashkenazi households, the single girls would light the chanukiyot, would light their own Hanukkah menorahs. Now that is the custom in many, many Ashkenazi households, that the single girls do light their own chanukiyot. However, in some Ashkenazi households, although the single boys lit separately, the girls did not, or do not. What is the reason behind those who have such a custom? So there are three suggestions offered. Chassam Sofer suggested as follows. The original lighting, and it's still done here in Eretz Yisrael that way, not so much in Chutz Laaretz, but original lighting, is clear from the Gemara, would not take place in the house. But where would it take place? Outside the house, in the courtyard. In the joint courtyard owned by the different families. And therefore, when it came to lighting their Hanukkah, everybody was lighting their separate menorah, would join together by the courtyard. The suggestion that Chassam Sofer made was that it could be that since this wasn't an absolute obligation, in theory, the daughters could be, I'll say, with the parents lighting, with the father's lighting, because it's only a mahadrim and a mahadrim that they light separately, and it wasn't so tsanua. Single girls are hanging outside, the single boys are outside, we don't want it chas v'shalom to turn into a tashlich, with something along those lines. So there were those who said, you know, maybe it's better if the single girls didn't hang out with all the guys lighting candles, and the Chassam Sofer suggests that's maybe why single girls didn't light separately. Nowadays we're lighting in many places, especially in Chutz Laaretz, you light inside your home. Alright, but that's how the custom started, therefore they continued it. A second reason I saw given is that if we accept the minhag mentioned by the Mishnah Berurah, that the married women don't light, it was considered what? The mother's not lighting separately, and the daughter is lighting separately. It makes the mother look bad. I don't know why it makes the mother look bad, but this was a suggestion made. Maybe it's not derech eretz that the daughter should have a separate menorah and the mother doesn't, and since the mother doesn't, because he's stuck a gufo, so therefore maybe the daughter shouldn't light separately. It's the second reason.
How does mom tell the daughter to light if she's not?
Right, but maybe she sees the mother. The third reason mentioned by Pesulma Zalman Orbach may be that as follows. She's not really obligated until she's bat mitzvah. And when she gets married, so she'll stop because she's ishtal kagufa. So how many years is there between bat mitzvah and getting married? Not so many. I won't say how many, but it's not so many years. I mean, you know, even if you look at it from the perspective of a person lives to be really, a person lives to be 80 years old, 90 years old, from the age of 12 to let's say the age of 22, for argument's sake. So it's 10 years to start for just those few years. If Shlomo Zalman said, suggested maybe that's the reason behind the custom. But again, there are many Ashkenazi homes that the single girls do light, even if the mothers don't, even if the married mothers don't. But there are some, you may come across some Ashkenazi households that the girls do not like.
That's just the way their family goes down?
Could be. The question is, what's the source? Where did the custom arise from? Okay. Now, I mentioned earlier, in passing, that, first we'll talk about one thing, then let's go back to it. We mentioned that the wife can be yotzei with the husband's lighting, and she doesn't have to light separately. In such an instance, does the wife have to be at home when the husband lights? The answer is no. That even if the wife is not present, she can be yotzei with the husband's lighting, and he can light the Chanukiah, have her in mind, and she's yotzei the mitzvah. However, there is a very, very fascinating story told about the Chafetz Chaim. When the Chafetz Chaim was young, he went to visit Reb Nochum Horodno. Now, I don't know very much about Reb Nochum Horodno. The one thing I know is that the Chafetz Chaim used to visit him to find out how a tzaddik should behave. So if that's what the Chafetz Chaim turned to see tzidkus, the one thing I know about Reb Nochum Horodno, he wasn't such a simple tzaddik. And the story goes that it was one Chanukah that the Chafetz Chaim came to Reb Nochum Horodno's house, and he came there in the afternoon, and they were sitting and they were talking and learning. Came Shkia, and the Nachum Aradna doesn't light the Chanukah candles. Some people have a minute to light it. Shkia will talk about it. Okay. Comes Tzeit HaKochavim, and the Nachum Aradna does not light the Chanukah candles. Now, if you don't light by Shkia, certainly you light by Tzeit HaKochavim. 15 minutes after Tzeit HaKochavim. Half hour after Tzeit HaKochavim. 45 minutes after Tzeit HaKochavim. An hour after Tzeit HaKochavim, the Nachum Aradna is not lighting. Chaim didn't know what to do, but he wasn't going to ask. An hour or so after Tzeis, if it's nightfall, there's a knock on the door. Who is it? It's Reb Nochum Aradna's wife. She came home. So Reb Nochum Aradna salutes his wife, gets up, and says, time to light Chanukah candles. And he lights the Chanukah candles. So afterwards, the Chafetz Chaim said, listen, I came here to learn about tzidkus, I have to ask. So he went to Reb Nochum Aradna and he says to him, Rebbe, why did you wait for your wife to come home? I know that, but the other you can light after Tzeis HaKochavim, but the post can say you should try to light as early as possible. And Meikra Din, your wife doesn't have to be home for you to light. She's yotzei even if you're not there, so why are you lighting? Why do you wait till she comes home to light? So Nachum Aradna tells him as follows. The Gemara asks, Maim Shabbos asks, if a person has enough money to buy one candle, he can either buy, it's Friday afternoon, he can buy one candle. He can buy a candle for Shabbos, or it's Shabbos Chanukah, he can buy a Chanukah candle. What should he spend his money on? The Shabbos candle or the Chanukah candle? So, because the Shabbos candle you can make use of, right? You're allowed to be mishtamish bo, the Chanukah candle you're not allowed to make use of. So which one is he going to be lighting? So the Gemara says, even though the Chanukah candle is presumei nisa, the Shabbos candle comes first. Why? Mara says, Mishum Shalom Bayis. So he said like this. Shabbos candle takes precedence over Hanukkah candles. I cannot light a Hanukkah candle at all, Mishum Shalom Bayis. My wife knows the halacha very well. She knows that she's Yotzei with my lighting, even if she's not here. But I know that she likes to be home when I light candles. She likes to see. So he says, that's Shalom Bayis. And if Mishum Shalom Bayis, I can cancel Hanukkah candles totally and just light a Shabbos candle, and Mishum Shalom Bayis, I can postpone lighting till an hour after Pesach Kohanim. And therefore, even though the halacha is that a husband can light and the wife doesn't have to be there, from Rav Nochum HaRadner we learned that if the wife likes to be there, then the husband can wait a while until his wife comes home and then light the Hanukkah candles. What about the reverse? Can the wife light and be motzi the husband? That's what I had mentioned in passing earlier, that the wife's obligation is the same as the husband's. It's the same level. And therefore she can light and be motzi him. And he also doesn't have to be home. The story is, they say, the name of Rav Moshe Feinstein, that if for some reason Rav Moshe Feinstein was coming home very late on Hanukkah, let's say he had a chasen and he left the house and it was too early to light Hanukkah candles, and he was going to be coming home very late at night, he would ask his wife to light the Hanukkah candles and to be motzi him, and he preferred to doing that rather than lighting Hanukkah candles at, I don't know, 10, 11 o'clock at night. And the poskim suggest this. However, they say it might depend on how late it is. You know, if the time for lighting is 5 o'clock in the evening, and the husband's going to be home at 5:30, so, all right, let everybody wait. But if it's 5 o'clock in the evening, the husband's going to be home at 11 o'clock at night, then maybe it would be better to ask his wife to light and be motzi him. If, however, there's a shalom bayis issue, he likes to be there for the lighting, all right, so he can wait for light till he comes home. And if his wife lights separately, so she can light, then he'll light. If they light together, so I guess she'll wait. Okay, now, when do you light? There is a machloket arishonim, and this is what I alluded to earlier, as to what's the best time for light. Some rishonim learned that the best time to light is at shkia, at sunset, which is approximately, right now, about 4:39, 4:40 in Yerushalayim. It'll be a little bit later by the time Hanukkah rolls along, not much later, but that's shkia. Others say that the time to light is Pesach Kochavim, which in itself is going to be questionable because we use different ways of figuring out Pesach Kochavim for different sets of halacha. When to say Kriyat Shema, when Shabbos is over, in Yom Kippur, and different issues. The custom amongst many, maybe most Ashkenazim in Yerushalayim, is to light at Shkia. And therefore, most Ashkenazim will be lighting at Shkia during Hanukkah. And generally speaking, that is what we suggest to our students here, these Ashkenazi students here, that they should light at Shkia, which will be, again, 4:40-something. As you know, we have, I don't know if you know, that there are different schedules during Hanukkah time. I already told you that, if you don't know, you will know that on the days where we have classes, where we're lighting that night, where there aren't too many of them, there will be the 3:30 class starts at 3 and goes to 4, and then at 4 o'clock the afternoon classes end. So there's 1 hour of class from 3 to 4. Whatever class normally starts at 3:30 runs from 3 to 4, and then that gives you time to prepare for Hanukkah lighting, get your menorahs ready, etc. So we suggest to the Ashkenazi girls here that they should light at Shkia. That's the most prevalent custom here in Yerushalayim. Svardim in general tend to, based on Mechaber, wait till Tzeta Kochavim to light. However, regarding when Tzeta Kochavim is here in Eretz Yisrael, regarding Ner Hanukkah, I'm not talking when Shabbos is over, so there are a number of Sardik Poskim, Rav Avadi Yosef, amongst others, who suggest that 15 minutes after Shkia. Not such a major difference, but approximately 15 minutes after Shkia, which would be close to about 5 o'clock, Svardim would be lighted. In Chutz Laaretz, there were all kinds of minhagim. Some would light at Shkia, some would light, this is what they say. They say Moshe Feinstein used to light about 10 minutes after Shkia. Ivan Kutler used to light about 25 minutes after Shkia. Some people would use to light later than that. And if one is waiting for the father to return or the mother to return from work, whatever it might be, and they light the family to all light together, their Shalom Bayis issues there also between parents and children, and they want everybody to light together. So very often people are not home at 5 or 5:30. Sometimes they wait till 6 or 7 o'clock, and that's when the people come home, and that's when everybody's lighting. Of course, if you're home earlier and it doesn't bother your parents at all for you to light without them, then you can light earlier and you light the Shkia or Tzeitah Kol Chavin, something along those lines. Possibly to light within 30 minutes after nightfall, after Shkia. Yeah. Okay, what's the latest that one can light? So whenever the time arrives to light, then the earlier the better. If it's time to light, the earlier the better. However, b'di'avad, one can light late into the night up until the crack of dawn. Up until alot ha-shachar, one can light. If for some reason one returns home at 3 o'clock in the morning and hasn't lit Hanukkah candles yet, one can light. It's preferable that at least two other people see your candles. So if you're, of course, you have permission to be lit, it has to be by curfew. I don't know. But if for some reason, yeah, let's say you're at home, whatever it is, and you come back with your parents at 3 o'clock in the morning, there was a chasana, who knows what, 3 o'clock in the morning, so there's one person going to light, two other people are going to see the candles, so that's fine. If at least one other person, aside from the person lighting, sees the candle, then you can also light and say a bracha. If you are the only one lighting the candles and seeing the candles, everybody else in your house is asleep. You live on the most boring street in, I guess the Rabbi Katz would call it Yuppetsville, what does he call it? I don't know. You live on the most boring street in Yuppetsville. Nobody is on the street at 3 o'clock in the morning, if you can believe that. Then, and no one else is going to see it, then the Mishnah Berurah has a bit of a suffix whether you should say a bracha or not. The question is whether there's persume nisa, because no one will see it. He's a bit of a suffix. If someone's on an Oyebach, a Paskin, that one can still light with a bracha, even if no one else is going to see those lights. What's the earliest you can light? How early can you light? So he said that it's machlokas, shkia and tzeit. Can a person light beforehand? So the answer is yes, and the fact is there is one night, at least one night during Hanukkah, where we always light earlier. That's Friday, right? Because we can't light after shkia. So the earliest time to light is Plag HaMincha, the earliest time that one could be Makabel Shabbos, it's the earliest time that one could be Kiri Davin Meirev. Plag HaMincha is 1 1/4 Sha'ot Zmaniot before sunset. During the winter months, it's approximately roughly 60 minutes before sunset that one can light. There's an interesting machloket haposkim. There's no consensus. Is it better to light very early, like if the plag? I mean, unless shkia is at 4:40. Okay, let's say 4:40 is shkia. So I'm leaving my house at 4 o'clock, and I'm coming back to my house at midnight. So is it better to light at 4 o'clock before shkia, or is it better to light at midnight very very late? So that's a machloket of the Shevet Halevi, Rav Vozna from Bnei Brak. Feels that it's better to light at midnight than it is to light before Shkia. And Shlomo Zalman Auerbach held the opposite. It was better to light before Shkia, after Plag HaMincha, than to light very late at night. I think there's no consensus. Those are knowing one way, those are knowing the other way. How long do your candles have to burn for? The candles, the oil, whatever you're using, how long does it have to burn for? So the Gemara says it has to burn ad shetichle regel min ashuk. For when people are no longer walking out of the marketplace. Now what this seems to mean, at least Rav Sternbach understood it, is that during the day the marketplace was humming with people. As it got dark, the marketplace would begin to close up, and at some point the last people would leave the marketplace to go home. Now, this doesn't mean that nobody else would ever walk around in the street, but it means that they've left the marketplace and they're on the way home. So when those people have left the marketplace, that's how long you have to let the candles burn till after they've gone. How long is that? The Gemara does not give a specific time. However, the Rambam says that it's, well, the Ritva writes, it depends on the Minog, and the Rambam says it's approximately 1/2 hour after the time for lighting. Now that is the accepted custom, that we have to have the candles burning for at least 1/2 hour after the time for lighting. Which means that whenever I light, right, they have to burn for two things. We say like this. They have to burn for at least 1/2 hour. Now, even if I'm lighting 11 o'clock at night, they should burn for at least 1/2 hour. And if I light early, they should burn till 1/2 hour after the official lighting time. So if I'm lighting at 4 o'clock when the official lighting time is 4:40, then it has to burn till 5:10. Because it has to burn for at least 1/2 hour after the official lighting time. That's why when you light candles on Erev Shabbos, you have to use longer candles or add an extra oil, because by definition we're lighting earlier on Erev Shabbos, and therefore it has to burn longer. But if I'm lighting 4:30, I'm lighting 4:40, excuse me, I'm lighting 4:40, I'm lighting 5 o'clock, or so. So is, if I'm lighting it at Tzeis HaKochavim, for instance, does it have to burn for more than 1/2 hour? Meikar Adin, no. However, there are people who are machmir and have very long burning candles or lots of oil. They like to have the candles burning in the window till most of the people are have no longer walking on the streets. I heard a story, I don't know if it's true, it could very well be true, that the Brisker of Velvo Soloveitchik lived in Yerushalayim, in Gula, he lived near the Edison movie theater. And he used to find out when the last showing was over in the Edison movie theater, and he used to make sure his Hanukkah candles were burning till after the people left the movie theater. What? It's in near Gula. I don't think they show movies there anymore. But he used to have him burning till after the last showing, so that when people were no longer walking in the streets. So you do have people who will have their candles burning till 7:30, 8:30, 9:30, 10 o'clock or so at night. But maker then, if they're burning for at least 1/2 hour, and 1/2 hour after the official time, that's good enough. If you light at Tzeis HaKochavim, then 1/2 hour after Tzeis is fine. If you light at Shkia, then because there's a machloket, what the right time is, Shkia or Tzeis, it's not a bad idea to have them burn for a little bit longer than 1/2 hour. To have them burn till Tzeis and another 30 minutes, which would mean, if you want to count at least 20 minutes from Shkia till Tzeis, 15, 20 minutes of Shkia till Tzeis, and then count the 1/2 hour. So that would mean that if you're lighting at Shkia, it would be nicer to have your candles burn for longer than 30 minutes. Closer to 50 minutes would be a little bit of a chumra, but on the safer side. Just so you should know, the standard colored candles that you get in the box, 44, you know, colored candles in the box, right? Those burn depending on how many you have, because if you have more candles closer to each other, there's a greater amount of heat and they burn down faster. And if you put them on top of a hot radiator, it's even faster, as I once learned. Those candles will burn approximately, depending on the thing, from 30 to 50 minutes. Right, those 30 to 50 minutes. The typical Shabbos candle, typical white Shabbos candle, burns for about 3 to 4 hours. Right. And if you use oil, so you can try out, but you can see how much, depending, the more oil you put in, the longer it will burn for. And on trial and error basis, you can see how much it is to burn. Yeah. So we'll hopefully get to that. Yeah.
If you light at
11 o'clock at night, you still have to let them burn 1/2 hour.
you live like the colorful ones before Shabbos, your father was like Mosaic oil, can you like get online and just like swipe like the one you?
But you wouldn't be able to make a separate bracha. Because if you're making a separate bracha, that means you want to do an independent mitzvah. And on Erev Shabbos, those little candles don't work. Don't work. All right, we'll hold up some questions to try to get some more. Write them down and be neder. Let's talk about Erev Shabbos for a moment. So on Erev Shabbos Chanukah this year, there's one Erev Shabbos. I think next year there may be two again. There's one Erev Shabbos Chanukah. So of course one has to light Chanukah candles before one lights Shabbos candles. That's clear. What do you do about davening mincha? There's a machloket achronim. Some achronim suggest that it would be preferable to daven mincha before you light Hanukkah candles. Why? Because mincha is a Friday activity. The Hanukkah candles that you're lighting are for Shabbos. And therefore, it's awkward that I'm lighting my Hanukkah candles for Shabbos and then I'm davening mincha for Friday. In many places, they will have an early mincha minyan, so that people will daven mincha gedolah in the early afternoon, and then they'll light the Hanukkah candles. However, other achronim say, no, it's not so necessary, and certainly in Chutz Laaretz, when many people are working on Fridays, they don't have the time to daven early mincha, and therefore one is allowed to light the Hanukkah candles, and then daven mincha. It's not a stira, it's not an inner contradiction. But some are makpid to do otherwise. Now, we try to light the Hanukkah candles close as possible to nightfall, even if we're lighting early. And therefore, in Yerushalayim, where the minhag all year long, in many places, is to light Shabbos candles 40 minutes before Shkia, on Erev Shabbos Hanukkah, many, many people do not light Shabbos candles that early. Because if you're lighting 40 minutes, maybe you can open the window a little bit. If you're lighting 40 minutes before Shkia, the Shabbos candles, so when are you going to light the Hanukkah candles? 45 minutes before Shkia. That's like really, really early. And therefore, a number of poskim, they call the name of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach used to light his Hanukkah candles on Erev Shabbos 25 minutes before Shkia. And then when he finished lighting the Hanukkah candles, he would light the Shabbos candles. So the Shabbos candles would go to about 20 minutes before Shkia, which is a very common custom. In Chutz Laaretz, of 20 minutes, the Yerushalayim custom of doing it 40 minutes, they would do all year long except Erev Shabbos Chanukah. And then they would wait to light. Right. Obviously, you shouldn't wait too long. If you start lighting your Hanukkah candles, and then the oil doesn't catch, and then the wick falls down, and then you're fixing with it, you can get very close to Shkia. It's not a good idea. So you need to give time, and especially if you have multiple people lighting, and they light one, and then the next, and then the next, and then the next. So you have to give time. It takes time to light four or five Chanukah yod, whatever you're lighting. Right. So it can take a long amount of time. Motzei Shabbos. So of course we wait. Here everybody agrees you can't light at Shkia, obviously. Here everybody waits till after Seitzah Kochavim, and we wait till after we daven Maariv. There's another interesting Yerushalmi custom that not everybody likes. And that is, whereas normally on Motzei Shabbos, the standard Maariv is 35 minutes after Shkia, there are some who have a custom in Yerushalayim to daven Maariv about 23 minutes after Shkia, instead of 35. Why? They won't do Malachi yet, till 35, but they'll daven Maariv 23 minutes after Shkia. So that they'll finish, it'll be just about Seitzah Kochavim, just about the time Shabbos is over, when they finish Maariv, and they can run, and light the Hanukkah candles at the first possible second. The reason that there are many who don't like this custom is because if you announce Maariv for 23 minutes after Shkia, people will mistakenly think that if that's when they're davening Maariv, that's when Shabbos is over. And it's not. All year long it might be, but it's not. So therefore, not everybody gives it this custom, but you will see it on Motzei Shabbos Chanukah. You will see there are places which will bedat gedaven earlier. What about people who hold Rabbeinu Tam? So if you hold Rabbeinu Tam all year long, so should you hold Rabbeinu Tam even Motzei Shabbos Chanukah, which will postpone your candle lighting quite a bit of time? So there are two different opinions. I saw in the name of Rav Avadia Yosef, he writes, if you hold Rabbeinu Tam all year long, so you should hold Rabbeinu Tam even Motzei Shabbos Chanukah. Whereas if someone's Amen Orbach, they say personally, every year he used to say, I'm going to be doing Rabbeinu Tam B'li Neder, Motzai Shabbos. And he held Rabbeinu Tam every Motzai Shabbos except for Motzai Shabbos Chanukah. Motzai Shabbos Chanukah, he dafka didn't wait for Rabbeinu Tam, because he held that it was a nice chumrah, but not at the expense of lighting Chanukah candles at an earlier time. Okay. There's a machloket whether in your own home, which should you do first, light the Chanukah candles or say Havdalah. Some say you should light the Chanukah candles before Havdalah. You'll say Baruch HaMavdil Ben Kol D'Shlochol and light the Chanukah candles before your Mavdil Alakos. Why? Earliest time, Pesume Nisa, postpone Shabbos a little bit. Others say, no. Havdalah comes before Chanukah. Why? Tadir Rishayna, Tadir Kodem. That which is more common than that. And there are two existing customs. The Poskim mentioned both. In some of your homes, they may do one. In some of the homes, they may do another. Either one is acceptable. Now, we come to one of the biggest problems when it comes to Ner Chanukah. One that has much discussion amongst the Poskim. And that is, where is the proper place to keep your Chanukiah? The Gemara tells us that the proper place to light is outside, not in your house. However, Gemara says, if it's a makom sakana, if it's dangerous to light outside, then you're allowed to light inside. What was dangerous? So Gemara says it was dangerous because you light fires outside, it was attracting the attention of our non-Jewish neighbors were not so friendly. And therefore we didn't want to attract undue attention and do strange things, which might cause, every time you get attracted there, start throwing rocks, and you start making trouble, and you start knocking it down, and who knows what. So if there's this kind of danger, you're allowed to light inside. For many, 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 many generations, Jews living in Europe, I assume in the Middle Eastern countries and elsewhere, Jews very often would light inside because they always didn't get along so well with their non-Jewish neighbors and they didn't want to cause trouble, they didn't want to have undue attention. However, here in Eretz Yisrael, many, many people, Baruch Hashem, hopefully we have nice Jewish neighbors, and we're not worried about them, and therefore we don't think that there's a sakana, and many, many people will light outside. And if you haven't seen it, it's wonderful to see. You'll go along and you'll see everybody, not everybody, many, many people are lighting outside. So how do you light outside? I mean, the wind's going to blow out your candles in a few seconds. So you'll see in all the Svarim stores and the Judaic stores, they sell these boxes, these glass boxes, various kinds, with the chanukiyot in the middle. Some come with built-in chanukiyot, some you can put in your own chanukiyot. Some are short, some are tall, some have doors, some have sliding panels. And people will light outside, and then close the doors, the glass doors or the sliding panel. You can clearly see the candles or the oil that's burning inside, and it's protected from the wind, and that's the way that many, many people do it over here. Now, where are you supposed to light? Outside. So the Gemara says you light petach beito, at the entrance to your house. There's a discussion amongst the Rishonim, is it the entrance to your house or the entrance to your courtyard? But you should light at the entrance to your house. First year MMY was started, so Rabbi David was here then, and we had a discussion before Chanukah, where should the girls light? So he said, no, the girls should light outside. So 39 girls the first year, not including the Magic Hall. Rabbi said, so how are we going to do it? He turns to Rabbi Katz, he says, can we just stack 39 things like one on top of another? I can't try to explain to him it's not going to work so well. You're going to have to get ladders and get, people, all the tall girls will get a... So in the end it was decided, and that is the custom till this very day, that the girls do not light outside. But the girls light in their own individual apartments. What's interesting is I saw that Rav Nevinsel writes that when he moved into the old city, he didn't live in a private home, he lived in a multi-family home. And he asked of Shlomo Zalman, where should he light? He said, if I light at the entrance to the building, it's not clear that it's mine, because there's multiple families by the entrance. So if Shlomo Zalman told him, no, he should light in his window, even though Shlomo Zalman was very much for people lighting outside, said in this case, where if it's multiple families, he didn't tell him he can't light outside, and you'll see that there are multiple family dwellings where numerous Chanukiyot are, but he told Rav Nevinson he should light in his window, and that's fine, the window that faces the public street. And therefore, here too, the students light in their dorm room. Now, the most important thing that if you read all the svarim about where to light, they will always tell you, sakanta chamura me'isura, that to be careful about danger is much more important than to be worried about the isurim, let alone about a mitzvah tasei. And therefore, the first rule is that wherever the lighting takes place must be in a place that's very, very safe. Everybody thinks that they're, you know, oh, where I light is safe. But when you're doing, especially dealing with many, many people who are lighting, and this one puts it on this ledge, and that one on that ledge, and something on another ledge, although they talked to you about it beforehand, putting it on a narrow window ledge right over your bed, which has, you know, we had one fire in this building many years ago that was more than enough. It wasn't through the Hanukkah, but somebody decided to put a heater on top of a mattress, but that was a different story. I'm very serious. If you take a look at the sweatshirt hanging around Rabbi Katz's office with the smoke coming out of the MMY building, that was that year. Very interesting year. Anyway, so generally speaking, what? Okay, so we'll talk soon about that. But generally speaking, what you do is that you light in the common dining room area. To put it on a very narrow ledge over a bed is a mistake, is wrong. It can be a very serious fire hazard. The best place to light is in the general dining area, on the table, on the counters, in the kitchen. If you have a ledge, a very safe ledge, wide enough that overlooks the street, something like that, that's very nice. And that's a good place to light. There may not be a place for everyone to put their Chanukiyot out there, but that's where you can. That's where we light, and that's what's normally done. You can't. What? It's not so clear whether to people light in people to buy the glass things and to put it on the balcony. It's not so clear. Some poskim seem to say that's okay. Some say it's not so okay. Seems to be that either you light at the entrance to your house or you light inside. The balcony is neither the entrance to your house, nor is it, outside. Excuse me, it's not inside your house, it's not inside. So the window ledge is the bad thing. Now, what? Correct. So those which don't face the street, the Gemara says when you light inside, you're lighting for the people of your apartment, so they will see it. Okay. There's a question whether if people are in the building right across, whether that counts. Some say, oh, so if people see it right across, that's great. Others say no. Some folks can say it's meant primarily for the people in Rishut HaRabim. And therefore, if the people in Rishut HaRabim see it, fine. The person who lives in apartment 6D across from me, so he's not Rishut HaRabim, so that doesn't necessarily count. But in any event, as we get close to Hanukkah, Rabbi Katz will give you more specific instructions based on the layout of your apartments, where to light, but that's in general where the lighting is going to take place. Now, what do you do in terms of students in the dormitory, like you are? Where, who lights, and under what circumstances, and which are the best rooms to light in, etc. There are those who point out that the question is neri shubeto. The question is, to what extent does someone who's living away from home for a year and is not just away for a visit, you know, not just left for a couple of days, to what extent are they included in the family lighting at home, and to what extent are they considered independent, at least as far as this is concerned, for the year? The custom generally is that Ashkenazim, who anyway have multiple lightings per family, so it's not a problem for all the Ashkenazi girls to light Sefet Chanukiyot. And that's generally what's done here, is that the Ashkenazi girls all light their own Chanukiyot. For Sephardi girls, where the minhagists have only one per family, and therefore if one person is lighting already, they don't light separately. Generally speaking, what the Sephardi girls here do is join together with one of the Ashkenazi girls. And have the Ashkenazi girl will be the one who will recite the bracha, and she will be yotzei with that. She has a mind to listen to be yotzei with that. They can jointly buy the candles together, the oil together, whatever they would like to do, and do it that way. That's generally the custom that's done here. And as I said, although there's a discussion amongst the poskim whether it's better to light in the dining room, it's better to light in the dorm room, here we are knowing that the individual girls will light in their, at least in their apartments. One thing to keep in mind, though, when you're lighting, is that when you do light, you have to make sure that the candles are where they're supposed to be. You can't light in the wrong place, and after the lighting, move it to the correct place. So wherever you're setting up your candles to be, where the right place is to light, that's where you should do the lighting, and not first light and then move it to the correct place. Regarding the type of candles that are used or usable, we know that there's a mitzvah min hamuvchar to light with olive oil. Because the nes was done with olive oil, and that's primarily the primary reason. If you don't use olive oil, you could use another kind of oil, and if you don't use another kind of oil, you can use candles. The poskim are quite unanimous in saying that electric lights, for various reasons, will not work for Ner Chanukah, although they might work for Ner Shabbos. They won't work for Ner Chanukah, and one cannot be yotzei with electric lights. If you'll notice, if you go to the various stores, you go to Zal Mahadrin or any other places, there are various kinds of Chanukiyot that are sold. Those of you who may have not been used to lighting with olive oil may decide this year that you want to light olive oil, and it's very nice. You may want to buy it. They have relatively inexpensive olive oil oil menorot with little glass cases, and you buy the different kinds of wicks that you can buy, the taller wicks, the shorter wicks, and you buy a bottle of oil, and you can use that. By the way, when you're buying the bottle of oil, don't buy the most expensive cooking oil, olive oil that exists. They sell cheap oil that's not meant for consumption. In other words, I don't think it's fully pasteurized or whatever it is. It's certainly good to use for your burning, but you know it's not as fancily done as the expensive olive oil. No need to spend the money on that. You can certainly use olive oil. If you want to buy, there are two possibilities you can do. You can either buy the glass cups and the bottle of olive oil and fill it up and put in the wicks. If you want to spend a little bit more money, you can buy pre-packaged glass cups. It comes with 44 glass cups with the olive oil and the wicks all in it. You just take it off, rip off the top, and you just put it in. So for those of you who have 10 thumbs or are olive oil challenged, in terms of being able to move things into the thing, if you want to spend the extra money, you can do it. Now, as I mentioned earlier, somebody asked, it's true that if you normally light separate at home, then it makes sense that you should light separate here. If, however, at home, even if you're an Ashkenazi girl and you didn't light separately, then you don't have to light separately here, but you should join together with someone who is lighting, and you should be there at the time that the brachas are being recited, so you can answer.
You also like
amen.
At home.
What?
Like you should join someone who likes at home
here. I'm saying what you
mean.
Okay. If you are going to be traveling, if you're going to be traveling and you're not going to be home or being the dorm being home, so if you're going away for Shabbos, which is let's say the most common situation, if you're going away for Shabbos, so then. Wherever you're staying for Shabbos, that becomes your home away from home, and you would light there Friday, late afternoon, you would light in that house, if you normally light separately. Right? If you normally light separately, then you would normally light separately in that house. If you don't normally light separately, then you have to join together with the person lighting in the house. And you have to join together by owning a share of their oil or of their candles. Now, you can pay them for it, or you can accept it as a gift. But if you want to, if they're willing to give it to you as a gift, you have to make a kinyan on the oil or on the candles. You have to make an act of acquisition. The menorah is all set up, and they said, you ask, can you join in? And they say yes. And they say, do you have to pay? And they say, no, it's okay, we'll give it as a present. So if you just lifted up a tefach without spilling everything, and have in mind to be kona, that's good enough. Right? Or if you want to light separately, you can light separately. Motzai Shabbos, if you're staying over there Saturday night, so then that's fine. If you're not staying over Saturday night, so it depends. If you're coming right, if you're leaving right after Shabbos, and you're coming straight back to the dorm, then wait to light Hanukkah candles till you come back to the dorm. If you're not leaving straight after Shabbos, or you're not coming back to the dorm, and you won't, and you're going to be back much later, then according to Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, until you've left that house where you stayed for Shabbos, it's still your home away from home. And you can light Motzai Shabbos in that house, and if, let's say, you're by your cousins, and they're going to have a Hanukkah party, and you're going to leave at 10 o'clock at night, so fine, so after Shabbos, light there, and you can do your Motzai Shabbos lighting there, and then be yotzei in terms of that. Yes, sir?
If you normally light by yourself, can you use that ability,
if you find that it's a big tircha to start carrying your menorah with the oil and everything else, etc. Okay. But, when I was in yeshiva, if I went away, I brought my menorah, and I had guests to come over and light their menorah. The only thing is, if 10 girls are going to somebody's house, and you need to find, in addition to the place for the family of 12 that's already there, they need to find 10 new places for chanukiyot, it might be a problem. You may want to check with them ahead of time, but if that's the case, you can still join up together with their lighting.
Speaking more to you, if you hold your Shabbos, you're leaving there, but not leaving right away, and you have to leave your menorah there for your candle burning.
Unless when you light, you have in mind that you're only going to use it for a half hour. And then the question was asked, can you put out the candles? So if if they've already burnt the requisite amount of time, and then you want to put out the candles, you're allowed to, but it's preferable that when you lit them, you should have in mind that you may put them out earlier. I know there are many people who light inside their houses, and then they're leaving the houses, and they don't want to, for safety reasons, they do not want to leave the candles burning. So if they lit at Sheis HaKochavim, and the candles burned for a half hour, and now they're leaving the house, so they were yotzei the mitzvah, so then you can put out the candles. The only thing is, it's preferable when you're lighting to have in mind that they shouldn't burn so long. You're not going to keep them burning forever, yeah.
Would you mind having a hotel?
So hotels are a bit of a problem. They generally do not allow you, I understand why, to light in your private rooms. They also don't allow you to use light in the dining hall, which would be the next best place. They usually give you a place in the lobby. A number of years ago, some of the girls who were in, I don't remember, it was in Columbia or Barnard, they had a problem. They also couldn't light in the dorm room. They gave them a place in the lobby to light. Yes, Rabbi David, what to do? If I remember correctly, I think he spoke to Nevinson about it. He told them that wherever they light in the lobby, turn it into your dining room. How do you turn it into a dining room? So he told them to light there and then to sit around for a while and have at least mezonot. He said to have a sufganiya or whatever it is, to light, to eat there, and that becomes sort of like your place. It becomes part of your house, and that's a place where you're eating a little bit and you stay around for a while. You can sing some Hanukkah songs or whatever might be appropriate. Play dreidel, I don't know. So we'll do that. Okay. I know that somebody usually gives a Torah at 8 o'clock, and it wouldn't be impolite of me to keep that person waiting. There is more to discuss about Hanukkah. We haven't been able to cover everything. If you have any questions, you can please come and ask. There's an interest in having a second shiur. I don't know when we would be able to have it. It's going to be a little bit tight in terms of the schedule because this is usually Rabbi David's slot, and I want to take over his slot, and Bezat Hashem will be back next week. But if there is an interest in having a...